448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
KTYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Rita, if you don't mind.
Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. Verse 20. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you."
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I simply want to title this message, "Remember Me." Remember me. When it all boils down, this is exactly what Jesus was saying. Remember me. It is so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand the power of memory, and especially when something significant and even super significant happens in your life. And it brings back so many memories that surround it, the event, so many details that come back to the forefront of your mind when you call into remembrance certain events, certain people, certain situations, regardless of the period of life that they happen in. And Jesus knew something that was important that many of us don't always remember, is that your memory causes you to relive the situation again when you bring it back to the forefront of your mind. Certain smells can take you back to certain periods and times. Certain pictures you see take you back to certain periods and times. Certain situations trigger certain memories of the past, and you relive them as though they had just happened yesterday. And Jesus makes clear here that he wants the people of God to remember him. And when we look at this word, I just want to take a few moments today. I'm not going to keep you long, but I just want to help you to understand the magnitude of this message for the believers. Now, Jesus takes bread, he blesses it, he gives thanks, and he gives it to the disciples. And when he gives it to the disciples, he says, "This is my body." Now, let me just back up a moment, because this is experiencing the Passover experience, a yearly national holiday for the Jewish people. Pilgrims made their way from around the world to make it back to Jerusalem for the Passover. In homes where there was an upper room, no pilgrim paid for room and board when they were at other fellow Jews' house. The bottom floor was where the family lived. It was usually made in a square box shape. The second floor would be a smaller square block shape on top of the bottom one. And to gain access, that was a staircase that ran on the side of the house for you to enter into the upper room. And so the only thing guests would have to pay for would be the skin of the lamb that they ate during the Passover time. But anything else was free to the pilgrims because they recognized that they had journeyed from places are far and near to come and participate in this room or in this Passover. And this room was usually reserved for the people of God, especially those who were rabbis and who had disciples, where in that upper room they would take time and they would share deep sentiments and things of the heart with the disciples. And so it was there that they would break bread together. It is where Jesus also had preordained to go into an upper room, and he sends two of his disciples and he tells them, when you see a man with a water pot, follow him, he's the one. Now what was interesting about that is during that time, only women carried water pots. So to see a man carrying a water pot was very unusual and out of the ordinary. But that was the way he would be recognized to know it's his house we're going to have the Passover at. So when he goes there and he takes the bread and he gives thanks, he says, one, he says, this is my body. This bread, it represents my body. Now, when he says that, he's talking about and referencing Old Testament types, the showbread and every other sacrificial system that was put in place, every ceremonial and memorial service that was made for the sacrificing of sins and for the repentance of sinners and hoping for an atonement through the sacrificial system was made. Jesus is referencing all of those things to those who are familiar with the Old Testament events. And so when he says, this is my body, it brings into mind again the reality of sacrificing. And he takes this bread and he says that this was given for you. Now, it's important for the believers, one, to understand that the body of Jesus is given to the believers for their salvation, for their sanctification, and for the reality their eternal life. What Jesus did in his life and his death, no other person could do. Now, when we talk about the bread, let me be clear about this. There was nothing holy about the bread. There was nothing mysterious about the bread. It was common bread. But the bread had been blessed. The bread had been given thanks for. The bread was called a sacrament. In the Christian faith, especially in the Roman Catholic faith, they called it sacrament. And so in the Baptist and most prodigal faiths, we call it the elements, all right? But here it is, the sacrament, just so that we'd be clear about that, was something that was ordinary, average, common, usual, that was ascribed a greater value than the object was itself. Did you understand what I just said? In other words, the bread was common, but what was ascribed to the bread was super extraordinary. it was a greater value placed upon the bread, which made the bread a sacrament because of the value attached to the bread, the purpose attached to the bread. Now the bread represents the body of Christ now. All right, let me help you a little more. In just about every house, there is a drawer or a room with junk in it. And we usually call it our junk drawer or our junk room. But every time somebody goes there, talk about you need to clean up and throw away this junk. When you go to try and clean up the junk and throw it away, and you touch it and you feel it, and it brings back memories that are greater than the object itself, you keep it for sentimental value. Itself may not be worth much, but the sentimental value connected to it is worth more than the object itself. That's called sacrament. When Sir James Harris, who's also known for writing Peter Pan, he was a novelist and a playwright, he would send a check to his mother every month. And when she died and they were going through her things, they saw in a box every letter and every envelope that he had sent the check in that box. Now, the check was gone, but the envelope was still there. But she kept the envelopes because of the value she placed on, my son sent this to me. And inclusive of this envelope was a check to bless my life. So she put value above the envelope, and that was called a sacrament. That was a commercial some years ago for the gum Extra. And that was a little girl who every time she would feel sad or troubled, her daddy would give her a piece of Extra gum, and he'd chew a piece of Extra gum, and then he'd fold the foil up into a bird and give it to her, and she'd look at the little bird and she'd smile. Well, he would do that for every situation in her life, every main event in her life, everything that was important to her. And so she was getting ready to go off to college, and they were packing up the car, and in a shoebox, she was bringing out to the car, the shoebox dropped, and hundreds of little cellophane birds fell on the ground. And when the daddy saw it and she saw it, they smiled with great, great and endearing feelings, because the daddy knew that each one of those little birds represented something special they had shared in her life. And the fact that the daddy didn't know that she had kept those things, they picked them up together and put them in and smiled together, and that was a sacrament. I wish I had some help in the house. And so the whole point I'm making is the sacrament is when you attach something of greater value to something that is of lesser value. Jesus said, this bread represents my body. So even though, if many of you been around in the old church, you'd hear some of the old deacons say, Lord, bless this bread that might have been handled by drug addicts, by alcoholics, by sinful men, etc. But bless it and consecrate it, make it worthy that we might partake of it. And so the whole point was it became a sacrament because it was blessed. And the attachment of the representation of this bread being the body of Jesus Christ made the bread so important. That's why we can't take the communion in vain? That's why we can't take the wafer, the cracker, the bread, and act like it's just any bread, because when it became a sacrament, an element, we attach the body of Christ to that bread. And Jesus said in the 6th chapter of John, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And so when the believer eats that bread, listen at this. This bread is transformed spiritually and supernaturally into the body of Jesus Christ. And so that's the importance of that. That's why people who are not born again, unbaptized, should partake in the Lord's Supper. Because it's meant for believers to remember the Savior who gave his body that was hung up on a rugged cross with nails driven in his hands and his feet and a crown of thorns on his head and pierced in his side. And that cross where his body was nailed to represented the most holiest and best and righteous thing that God ever had, that he gave to this world to be a representation of the salvation for mankind back to God. And that's why when we take the Lord's Supper, we've got to be serious about it. Can't take it lightly. Can't play with it. You've got to be consecrated. Because to take it in vain means to do damnation to your own soul. Old church members, I remember I was a boy, but they were serious about the Lord's Supper. Alcoholics wouldn't drink coming up to the week of communion. Players wouldn't play. They were going to take communion. I mean, liars wouldn't lie. Backstabbers wouldn't backstab coming up to the week. Now, they should have lived like that all the way, but they had at least the respect for the communion because they knew what it represented. And they didn't play with God. They took that very seriously. And so woe unto us if we play with the Lord's Supper, if we don't consider what that bread that we consume represents. Because Jesus, the only way he could have saved us was to come down and take on the form of flesh and blood. He had to take on a body like as we have. And in this body, endure everything that we ever will endure and more, yet without sin. And he had to pay a price. Not one of us could have paid for our own sin. He paid for all of our sins. And he did it in the body. The body. That's why when you have issues in your body, Jesus already knew about it. When he hung on the cross, and when he shed his blood, it was so that our deliverance would come in the body. Our healing would come in the body. Our salvation would come in the body. Everything that he had for the believers was for us here in the body, so that we will know and understand he did it in his body so we could experience it in our bodies. has nothing he has not done for us that we cannot experience in him in the body. That's why the devil attacks the body, the flesh. That's why the flesh wars with the spirit. That's why Paul says there's a war going on in my members, the flesh warring against the spirit, because the flesh has to be subject to the spirit in order to walk circumspectly. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You got to recognize that the body of Christ, when you eat that bread, is so important. And look at what he said. This do. You want to talk about it? I remember. He ain't told you to wear no cross to remember him. Are y'all going to talk to me this morning? He ain't tell you to carry no big Bible around to remember him. He ain't tell you to tattoo no picture on your arm, your chest, your back, your head, or nowhere else to remember him. He didn't tell you to do anything else to remember him but to partake in the Lord's Supper. This do, not these do. This ceremony, the Lord's Supper ceremony, this memorial, do in remembrance of me. See, that's why the devil don't want you to take communion. Devil don't want you to participate in the Lord's Supper, because when you don't show up for the Lord's Supper, what you're telling the Lord is, I don't need to remember you. And listen at this. The Lord knows that I'm out of sight, out of mind. The Lord knows that. That's why the record tells us, as often as we do this, we do show forth his death until he returns. And so we've got to realize, listen, as often as we do this, every time we do it, we can't do it without talking about how he died. For us, he who was sinless, he who was perfect, he who was holy, died for us in the body. And so I need to emphasize that to us, because we should never take communion for granted, or we should never take it as if it is something we just do habitually, but it should be something we do in remembrance of him. Let me just throw out another helpful holy hint to you. When you take communion and don't remember him, it is an indictment against you and a sin against you, because the whole purpose of the bread and the wine is to remember him. You don't just walk through the line, or you don't just take the cup and the bread and eat it. But when you are doing this, you individually ought to be thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did first for your salvation. That's him on the cross. That's taking every punishment, pain, and hurt that was meant for you on himself. You need to think about what he's done for you, how he has saved you, how he has dedicated himself to bring you in a right relationship and at one myth with God. That's not a time to be talking and passing notes. texting and going through. This is a time you ought to be thinking about the goodness of God to you. And when you do that, you, my brothers and sisters, honor him. Honor him like he's never been honored before, because it doesn't get old. Because here's what you need to know. From this time to the next time you take communion, he's done something else for you. It might start at Calvary, but every day you are alive, he wakes you up. He gives you health and strength. He forgives you of your sins. He delivers you from your issues. He keeps your enemies from destroying you. Oh, he keeps on working on your behalf. Your responsibility is to think of how he saved you. You ain't got to worry about how he saved Pastor Montgomery. You ain't got to worry about how he saved the person in front of you, on the side of you, behind you. You need to think about how he saved you. I'm closing when I tell you. That was a collegiate swimmer hoping to make the tryouts for the Olympics. And he knew that he had to win this next swim meet in order to qualify to compete.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. Kelly is an equal opportunity employer. You can reach us by calling 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. Or you can visit us at our website located at kellyservicehouston.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Greetings and blessings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I am Reverend Eugene Stevenson, pastor of the Baptist Church in Louisiana, and New Beulah Baptist Church in Boston.